Great to be here and to see so many faces, and particularly to see so many faces I don't recognize. And it's just a sign, isn't it, of our growth and of how God is adding to us across our sites. And I feel like I'm now in an auditorium. No longer. Thanks, Pete. I want to do three things this morning. I want to tell a story of Jubilee's recent journey. I want to paint a picture of our trajectory for the next few years, and I want to root it in a Bible passage from John's Gospel that I think has got application for us as a whole church, but also an application for us as individuals, because our Heavenly Father is not just interested in the story and trajectory of the church, but he is interested in every one of us. Amen? Amen? And the story and the trajectory of the church is about all of us, because it's not something else. It's sitting in the room. And so I think there's application for this passage for every one of us. I want to give the sort of big picture, if you like, of Jubilee as one church in three locations. And then tonight we're going to be reviewing the last year and celebrating, really, all that God has done amongst us, and seek God and to hear his voice amongst us. And then over the next few weeks, we're going to fill in more detail. We can no longer do it in one go, because God is doing so many things amongst us. In the early days, we did it all in one go, but now we can't do that. So I'm actually preaching in Farnham next week, and then Borden the week after, then Aldershot the week after that. So you can plan your, you know, days away accordingly. Preferably not on those Sundays. But anyway, I really want to just give opportunity in those contexts for Q&A and for interaction, just a little bit more detail. But today it's big picture stuff. Is that all right? For us about our trajectory. And the passage I want you to turn to, if you've got a Bible, hopefully you've all got Bibles, if not you've got devices or phones or whatever, is John chapter 10. And it's the familiar passage of the good shepherd and his sheep. Do you know that passage? It's great, three of you do, and the rest of you should really get into the Bible, because it's a really good, cool book. But it's a wonderful story. And I think I'm drawn to this particular story at this particular time for two reasons. Firstly, as we enter the next few years, I believe God wants us all to know him as our good shepherd. I think it's really important that we know God is good. And the second reason is the key focus for 2019, I think, is the appointment of new elders amongst us. And I'm going to come to that shortly. And at their best, elders function as under-shepherds of the good shepherd, don't they? And that's what we want to have. So we want to have the good shepherd deep in our souls as we start this year. And we've seen these two aspects, I suppose, on our journey through 1 Peter. Earlier in Peter, for those who are visiting, we've been looking through the, in the last term through the book of 1 Peter, just come to the end of it. But in 1 Peter 2:15, it says, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Isn't that a wonderful verse? Full of truth. Then in chapter 5, Peter says to the elders among you, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherds appear, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." You see, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, appoints elders that shepherd the flock he places under their care. And so the good shepherd is a key motif for us for this year. Is that right? Good. I need the feedback today because I need to know whether you're with me, because we're on one big adventure and I'd hate to be there on my own. So what I want to do is, I don't want to unpack the whole passage today. I'm not going to do it exegetically. I'd love to, and to be honest, I did do during the week, and then I thought I'm just never going to be able to cover all that and all the other stuff. So I want to focus on two verses, and I'd love you just to read them to me. I am
the shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me.
I believe 2019, our Heavenly Father would have us see afresh that we have a wonderful Good Shepherd, an overseer of our souls who knows us, leads us, cares for us, heals us, protects us, and has the utter best for us. That's everybody. Amen. That's not some church out there, some Jubilee thing. That's for all of you. And that's what I think God would bring to us at the beginning of this year. It says in Psalm 23, doesn't it? He leads us into green pastures. In fact, he makes us lie down. He refreshes our soul. He guides us along the right paths for his name's sake. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful verse? You see, it's wonderful to know that we have a good shepherd leading us. It's reassuring, isn't it? That our shepherd cares and protects and nurtures and refreshes and leads us to green pastures. Isn't that reassuring? And it's a promise for all of us in 2019, I believe. For 17 years that Jubilee's been going, you know, the good shepherd has been leading us. We are a led people. Do you believe that? We are a people who is led by a good shepherd. Right from those early days when New Frontiers, the movement of churches that we were part of, were gathering churches into the Stony Bible Week. That's probably now. How many people went to Stony Bible Week? Probably 15% of us. Amen. They were great, weren't they? Great times. You missed out, all the rest of you. But anyway, God led that to stop. And as a movement of churches, the encouragement was to look for green pasture and to plant churches. And the Good Shepherd has been with us. And since then, many churches have started. We're the fruit of it. Back in 2002... three families lived in Farnham, and they went to all different churches around the place. But they started gathering together. And God added some great people into the mix. Because God is the good shepherd, and he leads us. And his intent was for good. And Jubilee grew, and he added wonderful people and set in place leaders and elders. And you know, ever since we began, we've had elders who knew the Good Shepherd and wanted to know his lead and submit to his lead. And that's why Jubilee is not perfect, but it's a healthy church and a good church, because we're following the Good Shepherd. Amen? Amen. And you know what? It's been a joy over the years to be serving with these folks, a band of brothers, laughing, crying, praying, serving, seeking our Father in heaven for the good of the people that he has given into our care, the best way we can. Not perfectly, but the best way we can. It's been a joy. And I think it's changed over the years. The elders, not very much, but it has over the years. But do you know what? They've all led willingly. They've all been eager to serve. They've all been trying to be a good example. Because it was the Good Shepherd who has led us thus far on this exciting adventure together. And it's been exciting. See, right from the beginning, we wanted to be a church planting church plant. That was the phrase we used when we first were set up here in Farnham. We wanted to be a church planting church plant. And the Good Shepherd led us then in 2014 to Borden and then in 2017 to Aldershot, because God is leading us as a people. We're a people on a move. We're continually being led, continually evolving, continually changing. Because God's people at best are always on the move. The very last thing Jesus said was, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Right from the beginning, God's people were people on the move. His Great Commission, we've got it on the stage every week on all of our sites. Here's that one. Yeah, there we are. It's a Great Commission. It's to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. See, we follow a good shepherd who is always leading us to new, fresh pasture. That's the nature of the shepherd. He's got our best at heart. He wants the best for us. He wants the best grass for us to eat. And when I look back on the sermons from those early days of the church, do you know what? I see this idea of the good shepherd rich within them. I had a little reminisce looking back through the parchment. Handwritten. No, they weren't quite that old. And do you know what? I seem to quote in everyone a particular verse from Oswald Chamber, which is this: the root of all sin is the suspicion that God is not good. It's one of my favorite quotes. Learned it from Selwyn Hughes, one of my spiritual fathers. Spent many hours with him, learning from him. It's a wonderful, profound verse. The root of all sin is the suspicion that God is not good. See, right from the beginning, built into the foundations, part of the genetic makeup of Jubilee is the idea. No, it's not an idea. It's a conviction that God is good. That is deep within our soul, that God is good. It's deep within my soul. God is utterly good. With a heart to care and feed and heal and lead us and to add to his flock. That's the one who we serve. That's the one who we worship. That's the one whom we follow. And you know, things go very wrong when we start to doubt that. We see that right from the beginning, don't we? When you read the story of Genesis, God created a good and perfect place, created men and women to be right relationship with him, with nothing as a barrier between mankind and God. And yet there was another force at play to undermine and destroy, wasn't there? You know the story. In the form of the snake, the Satan came to sow doubt in the mind of Adam and Eve. God had given an instruction, if you know the story, not to eat from a certain tree. They could have eaten anything else, but just not this one. And the snake sidles up and whispers, "Did God really say that? Did he really say you must not eat from that tree?" And then he whispers a lie. "You'll surely not die." That moment, in essence, the snake was making them question whether God was good, whether God had Adam and Eve's best interest at heart. Doubt came into their minds, and you know what? When doubt lingers, it becomes distrust. And distrust leads to dislike, and dislike leads to disobedience in the end. You see, they set in motion a suspicion that remains today, that God is not good. Men and women continue to tend to trust their own judgment over and against seeking what God says, don't they? It's what the Bible calls sin, isn't it? The story goes on to show the outworking of that suspicion that God is not good. Adam and Eve become fearful. They hide from God. They become aware of their nakedness. And so started the masks that we so often choose to wear. A curse that continues to work itself out today through social media, doesn't it? It's just as modern as that ancient story. So started relational breakdown, people not taking responsibility. So started the blame culture that we see so evident around us today. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the snake. And as someone used to say, and it made me cringe every time, the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. See, one of the enemy's greatest tactics is to tempt us to doubt the absolute and utter goodness of God and his ways. That's the truth. But if we do doubt his goodness, all sorts of negative feelings and sinful attitudes and behavior naturally flow. But do you know what, church? It doesn't have to be like that. A serious understanding, a decision to embrace God's goodness changes things, leads us to repentance and healing and health and the ability to love God and love others as we love ourselves and love life. Amen? Let's be a little bit Pentecostal today. I'm feeling I need some amens. Because we have a good shepherd. It's definitely more Pentecostal this side. It's probably the sunshine. I mean, certainly bad things happen in our lives, don't they? We suffer losses, we go through disappointments, experience failures, endure hurts, sometimes deep and tragic. However, God's abundant, constant, and sometimes imperceptible goodness transcends it all, you know. When Hay and I lost a little girl midway through pregnancy, it was a horrible time, but somehow in the middle, we still knew the good shepherd alongside us, leading us. In fact, I don't know what we'd have done, how we'd have got through it without him. Because we knew he was good. This wasn't a good situation, but we knew he was good. And he was the place to go to for comfort in our trial. Because we knew he was good. Do you get it? So important that we know God is good. All the time. So, the first reason this passage is important for us, it helps us root out any suspicion that he is not good. Jubilee, we can trust the good shepherd who wants to oversee and tend for our souls, individually and together. And do you know what? The good shepherd has such a heart for this area that we are living in at this time. I think he looks at Farnham and Aldershot and Borden. And do you know what? It's as if he's looking at Jerusalem. Do you remember that passage? When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Do you know what? I think Jesus looks at Farnham and Aldershot and Borden and this whole area with that same compassion, that same desire to be a good shepherd, that same desire to draw in the harassed and the helpless, such a same desire to be the good shepherd. And I really believe God's hand is on this area at this time, not just in Jubilee, but I hear in other churches and in other things that are going on in our area that God is at work. The shepherd is at work. And there are hundreds of sheep he wants to bring into the fold. His compassion flows for the harassed and the helpless. And do you know what? We, as his followers, need that same compassion. And with renewed energy, need to be reaching out in this next season. And to see many saved and brought into the fold. Because that is the Good Shepherd's heart. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I think more than ever I believe that. When we started Jubilee, a piece of research had happened in the year before, and no church in Farnham could identify anybody that had come to faith in that year. And it made me angry. I thought, that's not right. That's not how it should be. Because we've got a good shepherd. Now people are being saved in all the churches in Farnham. In Aldershot, Boredom. It's happening. God is at work. The good shepherd has his eyes on our area and his eyes on us. For good. Amen.
Amen.
It's great. It's more Pentecostal that side. Falling behind there, guys. Second reason that the Good Shepherd passage is important is that it's a model for the shepherds he appoints to care for the flock, I think. And in 2019, the appointment of more elders, the development of leaders at every level is a key strategic thing for us. When we were considering multi-site, God spoke to us, if you remember, through Isaiah 54 at a prayer meeting. Do you remember that? Can't remember who it was now. Sharon, I think it was Sharon Titmarsh, wasn't it? Just brought up this word. In fact, read it to me. Enlarge. Do you know what? I believe God wants the tent bigger. I think that isn't a word just for then. That is a word that is alive amongst us now. And for it to extend further, we need more elders and more leaders to care for an ever-increasing flock that God is going to bring in. Amen?
Amen.
Do you know what? Over my sabbatical, I had a little midlife crisis and was thinking, oh, there's more behind me than ahead of me and all that sort of stuff, and it's feeling old and a little sympathy. Sorry. Okay, that's enough. But do you know what? Through it, I came out of it with a greater conviction that you know what, we've just begun. And what God has put into our DNA as a church, he has got magnificent things to do with. And I thought, you know, it's just the beginning. And we've got years before us of blessing that, do you know what? God won't reveal to us because it would scare the living daylights out of us. But I know enough to know that to do it, we're going to need more elders and more leaders because we're going to need them. Because God has got a big, big vision for us to extend. And we need more leaders to love and care for an increasing flock. And the right sort of leaders, you know. The leaders that have got a vision for the church. A vision to build the church. A vision for the sheer wonder that the church is. How magnificent the church is. They've got caught up in that wonderful vision from Acts chapter 2. Do you know that passage that we use so often on these Vision Sundays? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the mighty wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. That's the sort of church we want, isn't it? We want to be communities like that where people take off their masks and share their lives with one another, laugh and cry and pray and sing and serve together in authentic Christian fellowship, don't they? We do. We want to be a place where those who have more share it with those who have less. A place where people relate together, celebrate cultural differences, love having different nations amongst us. It's the sort of place that's a touch of heaven. And that first church offered unbelievers of their time a vision of life that was so beautiful it took their breath away. And they knew favor. And people were added to them because God was with them. His presence was with them. The Good Shepherd was there. And it was so bold and so creative and so dynamic, they couldn't resist it. And we have that wonderful verse that the Lord added to them daily, those who were being saved. We need more elders and more leaders so that God could add to us daily those who are being saved. We couldn't cope at the moment. That's why he's wanting to birth a whole new generation of leaders amongst us. See, God is inviting us to be a church like that Acts 2 church. He's inviting us to develop sites like that, plant churches like that, run small groups like that, influence and train other churches to be like that in Farnham, Aldershot, Borden. And do you know what? Beyond? Because he wants to add to us. He wants to increase us. Because he has a compassion for the crowd. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, we're getting real Pentecostal. The back, I can't hear you. I don't know if you're probably shouting, but I can't hear you. That's why we need more elders and leaders. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, they're caught on. They must not have obviously been saying it beforehand. Anyway, we want elders who model themselves on the Good Shepherd. Ministry leaders who model themselves on the Good Shepherd. Small group leaders who model themselves on the Good Shepherd. In fact, you know what? He wants all of us to model ourselves on the Good Shepherd. Because in some senses, we all lead. Be that in the workplace, in the home, in our peer group. He's calling us all to lead. In a sense, whenever you write on Facebook, if you write on Facebook, you write a post on Facebook or Instagram, every time you set a boundary for your children, every time you sit and listen to a depressed friend, you're called to lead them to the Good Shepherd, aren't you? Isn't that what we all do? We're all leaders in a sense. And you might say to me, I don't do any of that. I'm not a leader in any context. Well, you've still got to lead yourself. No one's going to do that for you. So we're all leaders, even if it's just to ourselves. And you know what? God is wanting us to step up in this new season. If we're in China, every one of you would be running a church. Because God is at move. If he floods in those who are being saved, he wants us all to rise up and make disciples. Every one of us. Every one of us to be involved in areas of ministry or in life or in our workplace or in college, being those who are seeking to see folks come to know the Good Shepherd. Amen? So we serve a Good Shepherd who wants to bring in other sheep and who appoints under-shepherds of various kinds to care for his flock. So where is he leading us? I've mentioned in the last year that during my sabbatical, I spent time reflecting on our direction thus far and what God might be taking us to. And in 2017, when we transitioned from being one church with a church plant in Borden to a multi-site, one church in three locations, we agreed we were going to do it for 3 years. We needed to give it some time. And since then, we've been constantly reviewing it and working out how to make it work most effectively. And do you know what? We've seen the benefits of a larger church alongside the benefits of smaller congregations where people can know each other better. I think we've seen some of that. I loved it that the Woods had 30 more people at last year, I think it was. I love it when we can get together like this. I've loved it when we've seen a critical mass able to do things that a smaller congregation can't. And yet I've loved it going around our sites where people are known, people can be recognized, they can be missed. We've seen the benefits of the big and the benefits of the small. And when we set out, we never set out to be like a franchise model where each site looks the same. It wasn't like Big Mac and McDonald's. It wasn't, go to McDonald's, Big Mac's the same, any McDonald's you go to, isn't it? But do you know what? We didn't want to go that route. We wanted to instead encourage leaders to focus on Sundays and growth groups and outreach, as we said to you, in ways that were appropriate for their area and their people. Leaders have to know their people. They have to know what is going on in their area so that they're able to reach out into their areas effectively. And at the same time, we establish various ways to keep our one church together. The Woods, Spring Away, New Day, West Point, our campaigns that we've done together, Flourish, prayer meetings, Jabal, Youth Weekend, Youth on Fridays, all sorts of stuff we did to get done together. And have seen the fruit of that and the benefits of that. And it's been fun. I've thought it's fun anyway. And looking at the pictures I've gathered, some of you think it's fun as well, that we're going to look at tonight. And God has added to us. And you know, what's more, God is pleased with us. I don't say that lightly. But as I've sought him over my sabbatical, do you know what? God is pleased with us. He is really pleased with us. But do you know what? I sense he has way more for us than we would even imagine. His compassion is so great for the crowds that don't know his goodness, that he wants to increase our tent more. He wants us to stretch out more, to add more stakes, to not hold back, as that verse says. Amen? Amen. A little lull there. So during the elders' retreat in January, we started wrestling with some questions. And two big questions came into my mind and our mind about what we needed to do as we came to the end of our three-year period. And the two questions were this. One is, should we appoint elders over all the sites or should we appoint elders within sites? Big question. However, if we appoint them in the sites, we reflected on, would that lead to a divergence? And how would we feel about that? Second question was, should we add more sites? One church in three, is that like forever? One church in three locations? Or should it be one church in four locations? And if so, where is that location? And then we got thinking, you know, what about five locations then? Or 10? Or 20. Got a bit competitive, you know. 30 on one side. 40 on the other. No. And then we asked ourselves the question, how many sites can you have before you're not anymore one church in 55 locations? You've become something else. These were big questions for us as we were on retreat praying and thinking. But we started talking. And just to let you in to our sort of gathering, because it was actually a big leadership moment for us. We were gathered and praying and talking and dreaming. And you know what? We love each other. We love leading together. We love being together as a group of elders. We love it. And you know what? Oh, a horrible thought came. Do we love our team so much that we don't want anybody else to come in and spoil it? And do you know what? That was a little moment. We love it so much. We have such good hearted love for each other, that we could become the very thing that might limit what God has got to do for us. Big leadership moment. But you know what? What I love is that we all love the church. And we all want the best for the church. And we don't want to limit God and what he can do through the church. And so we recognize that even though we love what we have as an eldership team, we need to change to move into all that God has for us. Yes, rather than amen. At the same time, I met with Steve Petch, who runs our region, and he said, do you think you could look after some other churches as well? And I said, I haven't got a chance of doing that. I'm so busy. I've got going on sabbatical. I just can't in the short term, but let's meet on my sabbatical and see whether we can have another conversation. And we did meet. And over my sabbatical, I went, investigated different multi-site churches, studied different leadership models, spoke to other multi-church leaders. And you know what? It came clear to me that multi-site church is different wherever you go. They have varying leadership structures. They have various approaches to it. And at one end of the spectrum, you have a franchise model where every site is the same, with the same product. The other end, it's more like what we might call a network or a family of like-minded churches. Some multi-site books are really describing what we might see as commission, a network of churches working together. But what they have in common is they see the benefit and the strength of being together, supporting each other in genuine partnership together to extend the tent, really, I guess. See, being more effective for mission is at the heart of multi-site. That's what I came to realize as I've looked at it. And what's more, when I spoke to the senior leaders, they all anticipated, you know what, things are very organic. It's all going to change. It's all going to move around. It's enabling so many good things to happen. But all of them anticipated it's going to change over these years. It's going to evolve. Change was here to stay. All anticipated that some sites would grow and then become their own churches, become on their own mission to plant other churches. And as I looked at that and reflected on it and just read more of the Apostle Paul as he went round gathering people into the faith, appointing elders in the churches, established them as churches, and yet somehow there was a connection between the churches. When one church was in need, another was providing for it. It became like a family together, but a family on a mission to see people saved in all sorts of areas and in all sorts of ways. So on my return from a sabbatical, we had another elders retreat and prayed and sought God. And a few things came out of it that I want to share with you just before we pray together. First thing was that although the elders love meeting together, we believe it's a time to appoint more elders and more leaders in Jubilee. I think also we think that new bivocational elders, they're likely to be, should be site focused, because that's where they know the people and the people know them. It's hard for somebody to be an elder of the whole church if they're not in knowing the people in the different sites. And so the third thing is we believe that in the next 5 years, however long, God is calling us to further extend our multi-site tent to include others, but that not in a one-size-fits-all sort of way. For us, we've seen that relationship is key amongst leaders in the churches that we have. That is the strength of what has brought us together as a church. And we see the partnership we have working out as we go forward in a multiple different ways, actually. I don't think we're going to be a McDonald's church, but we're going to be a church where the tent is extending. And you know what? Different ways, different groups are going to be partnering together. Some sites remaining sites, some sites becoming churches, some existing struggling churches becoming part of the family, some new sites starting. The tent is extending. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's good, amen. And do you know what? I see Farnham as becoming a resource and training hub for this group of churches and sites and church plants and people on a mission together. And I think that's what God has got for us in a special way. And that is why God has brought into us so many wonderful people, because he has got lots for us to do in this way. So we continue to think and pray through last term. We have spent hours thinking and praying and talking. And we feel in 2019 we're going to continue as one church in three locations. And much remains the same through this next year. But we're looking beyond now. Beyond into 2020. Through to 2025. We want to see what God has got for us into the future. And so this term we're going to be talking to some who we already feel God's hand is upon for eldership. In the summer we bring those people to the church, lay hands on them, appoint them as new elders. We want to, in parallel, be developing leadership teams and leadership in different ways in each congregation. We feel it's going to be an exciting time through 2019. And then in 2020, Jan 2020, we start another phase. God's blessing is upon us in 2020. It's a time of transition, I believe. And where we're at is we really feel it is time of change. And particularly, we feel it's the right time, or it will be the right time, for Aldershot to become their own church and to start their own mission into Farnborough or elsewhere. We feel Borden aren't quite at that place. We're going to keep as a multi-site, Farnham and Borden. We're going to look at where God is taking us next. But remain in it together. Does that make sense? You see, we see the benefits of remaining in partnership as a family of churches beyond 2020, because God has got stuff for us to do. Beyond Farnham, Borden and Aldershot, into new areas. And we think partnering as a family of churches is going to give us strength in doing that. So Aldershot aren't going anywhere. We're not like, you can't like move Aldershot, you know, to like another continent or something. They are actually only 10 minutes away. And we're going to still do stuff together. We're going to still get the benefits of that. But the benefits also of seeing something new established. And over the next few weeks, I want to work through some of that in more detail and answer questions. And there's lots of questions probably people have got in mind. But we're going to do that over the next few weeks. But I wanted to sort of set the trajectory in terms of what we're looking to do. But as we've been praying and considering 2019, we wanted to name it something like we usually do. And you know what we've come up with? We think that 2019 should be the year of increase. We're believing for increase in eldership and leaders. We're believing for increase in things of the Spirit. We're looking for increase in evangelism and salvations. We're believing an increase in finance and impact. We're beginning in an increase in areas that we're beginning to work for. We think 2019 is a year of increase for us. And I am full of faith for it. I feel it is a significant year of blessing for us. Psalm 115:14 says, "May God give you increase, you and your children," and that is his heart for us. Amen?
Amen.
That needs like the biggest amen. That's his heart for us. If you carry on after that verse, it talks about blessing. God's heart is to bless us. His heart is to bless Borden. His heart is to bless Aldershot. His heart is to bless Farnham. But do you know what? His heart is to bless beyond that. And he is calling us to a mission that is beyond that now, guys. And that is exciting. And that is a bit scary. But do you know what? We have got a good shepherd who is leading us. And we think that is where he is leading us to. Because his heart and compassion is for the lost. His heart is to see the community transformed. When the Aldershot team in the Who Cares program asked Aldershot what their big issue was, what came out was hope. People are looking for hope. And I think, what better people are there to tell people that there is hope than his church? Yeah. Amen? So it just thrills me when the council then asked Steve to say, well, what are the issues then in our town? I think, isn't that cool? He's asking Steve. Because Steve's got all the answers. Fortunately, he's the under-shepherd. And the good shepherd has. Don't we believe that? As we look at what's happening in Borden, a whole town transforming. God, the good shepherd, is there in Farnham. There are some wonderful things happening in this last year. It just humbles me. I'm going to talk about it the next few weeks. What's happening in Farnham is just amazing, because God's hand is upon us and he's got amazing things for us to do. And we want to do it together. And we want to be effective in our different units to be able to be on mission. Amen?
Amen?
So this is a year of increase for Jubilee. I think it's a year of increase for individuals in Jubilee as well. I mean, I've been praying for some of you that you become so rich. I particularly pray for the ones who give it all away, because they get more of my prayers, okay? Because God wants some people to be utterly rich. I mean, we're talking really rich, some people, because he wants resources in the kingdom. But God's blessing is coming on all of us because he's the good shepherd. And so this is a year of increase for many into 2019. So the good shepherd is leading us into green pastures, I think. And I think I want to encourage you to come before God about what he has got for you to do amongst us. And to come to God about what you want to give as well. We've got a gift day coming up. I want to call it the year of increase giving. And then I thought, that's not right, because if it's a year of increased giving, but then I thought that would be cool as well. So it's the year of increase, comma, offering that we want to have, if you see what I mean. Commas are very important. And we're going to, last year we did it, I think, when Angela was here, but Angela's a little bit later. So what we're going to do is on the 10th of February have our annual gift day. And if you got just caught up in some of the vision that God has given us to be followers of the Good Shepherd, can I just ask you, be generous on that day? Because it is going to cost us money as we advance, make transition, as we change, as we build, as we prepare. And God needs funds to be able to do that. And I just want to encourage you to stand with us. Be as generous as you can so that finances is released as well in this year of increase. Is that okay? Then we finish with this. The Good Shepherd encourages us to listen to his voice. That's in the passage, isn't it? And I want to encourage us all to be good listeners to the Good Shepherd this year. You can start today. Listening to his voice. For the church, as we come together to pray this evening in this room, I want us to hear God's voice together. Amen? It has shaped us on our journey because he speaks through his people. So come with scriptures or prophecies. Some of you have already done that already. I so appreciate that. If you can write it down, it'd be really helpful on a postcard. Just helps. You might just be spontaneously in the moment, but let's all be willing to listen to God's voice together. You up for that?
Yes.
But you know what? I want to encourage you to listen to the Good Shepherd's voice for your life too, because he is leading you to green pastures. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, shall we?